our words, and our witness. Of all the productions, apart from human thought, the most prolific thing that a man does is to talk. What are the effects of his words upon himself, upon his fellows, upon the kingdom of God? And the effect of those words constitute his witness, right or wrong. Lying lips God abominates. Those who deal in truth are his delight. Trustworthiness grows out of honor in our words. A lie is a false statement made with the intention to deceive others. Telling the truth can become a habit, just as lying can become a habit. We should therefore watch very carefully the words we utter. Part number one, the truthfulness of God. Jesus Christ came to establish the fact that God was truth, that he is truth. God cannot lie. God must be true to himself. From the very beginning, he has been true to himself. The truthfulness of God, the stability, the predictability of God are extremely important qualities. Think of the expression, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, heat and cold. These are predictable. If we couldn't predict that the sun would rise at a special time each morning, if it would arise 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, then day after tomorrow may not arise at all, and for 3 days it's dark, then maybe for 5 days it was light, we'd go insane. It's the absolute predictability and the faithfulness of God that enables us to trust him. He's there when we expect him to be there. All his promises, all his threatenings, all his appeals, all his advice are true. His promises and predictions and threatenings will be fulfilled. He does not change. The word for truth indicates reality in Greek and stability in the Old Testament. That which cannot be shaken. That which is absolutely there. There are no adulterations, no omissions. God is true. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is incarnate truth. He is true to himself, he is true to God, he is true to his fellow men. So, since he is true, an outworking of his character in words means that his words are truth. Part number two, the father of lies. The devil is the one who fathered falsehoods. And he fathered falsehoods by declaring that God and his will and his requirements were impossible. And he brought about chaos in heaven, expulsion of a third of the angels, seduction and chaos on this planet, and the death of untold billions of human souls. He procured the death of the Son of God. He made all the plannings of salvation necessary, all because of his false representation of God. He misrepresented God and brought death in its train. His name, devil, diabolos, means somebody who throws fiery darts through someone else. Part number three, the speaking of truth. The uttering in our conversation, in our communication of fact and theory and fancy What effect do our words have? Do we speak the truth? Now, how many ways can we speak? We can speak by words, by gestures. Raising an eyebrow, curling the lips, turning our head, puckering our lips, shrugging our shoulders, moving in a slouchy way. We are communicating. We're speaking. We can speak by our clothes, and we can speak by our behavior. The apostle advises us to speak the truth within a framework of love, so that what we say, by whatever means, what words we use, what tone we use, may be spoken, conveyed to somebody else within the framework of love. While we are growing up more and more into the full measure of Jesus Christ, we are growing up into Him who is the head. The head of the brain directs the tongue of the lips. You occasionally meet somebody who speaks without thinking, but most normal people speak after they have given careful thought to what they are saying. So love, codified in law, must regulate our speaking. So when the commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness, this same great truth is brought to our notice. Part number 4, wordiness and tale-bearing. Wordiness is a word that means excessive verbiage, too many words. It was Churchill who complained that a member of Parliament had the gift of multiplying the minimum thought into the maximum words. It's very difficult in a multitude of words not to go wrong. Somebody has said, the least said, the soonest mended. Now, when is it that we become wordy? Many times in social meetings. Driving along in the car, 4 or 6 persons reminiscing, telling stories that finally grow into tall tales, many times pretending to be the truth. Sometimes we make many words when we're reporting. We embroider what we saw. We add to what we heard. And in this kind of multiplied verbiage, there is a grave possibility of sin. But he that refraineth his lips, holdeth back, prunes his words, is very careful with what he says, chooses his words precisely, he is wise. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. And it's this repeating, this wordiness, this repeating stories that bring into trouble, break relationships, separate friendships. Talking too much is a grave fault and might lead to grave sins. The author of this lesson emphasizes that the mouth, the words, disclose what is in the heart. The sacrifice of fools is the multiplication of words. Not only may we be foolish and inane by our speaking, but we may be corrupt. Jokes, obscene, vulgar, crude. The tongue needs to be bridled. It may be hasty. It may speak without careful advisement. It may discourage. It should speak for hope. We should weigh carefully before we judge. We should control the quality of words and the tone of our voice, lest we bring trouble and strife. Tale-bearing, reporting, gossip, manufacture of tidbits of social conduct that we pass on from one to another, adding a little bit. And when 10 talebearers or gossips have purveyed one piece of information, even the first one who said it hardly recognizes that he started it. Part number 5. Criticism. There are two kinds of criticism. Constructive criticism and destructive criticism. When one criticizes constructively, he is pointing out weaknesses and at the same time showing ways of improving. You did it this way, but may I suggest, since I have suffered many times by doing it your way, that an easier way is so-and-so. There are many ways of doing this. Always constructive criticism should be made in love, tenderness. Destructive criticism generally pulls down what somebody has done or said or attained for the purpose of building up self. It's got no ulterior motive but a selfish building up of the speaker by putting down the object of his discussion. Now we can be critical of ourselves, both destructively and constructively. We can be critical of others in the same way, and we can be critical of God. Christ's methods of criticizing was to go alone to the person and point out the areas and suggest how he could improve. If this didn't work, to take a friend, then to let the church pray, and if he wouldn't listen, let him be. In all this, however, we should not imagine motive. Implying, impugning, describing motivations constitute one of the most evil forms of speculation known to man. Part number 6, messengers of truth. This word truth, the word of truth, the word of reality. What one is saying in a word of truth is what is real, not what is imagined, not what is opinion, not what is speculation, but what is real. So when you love the truth, when you live the truth, when you proclaim the truth, when you are a messenger of truth, is loving, living, sharing, is the reality. Not something that will pass away with time and sense in this world, but something that will go on forever and ever without change. God purposes that all men should come to a knowledge of the truth, and we who know it, sharing it with others, may bring them within the framework of this reality that is the kingdom of God in Christ, who is the truth.